So what we're doing is, you're wondering what I'm passing on. I'm passing out to you a little section of some of the notes, because I didn't give you all of the notes. That's up to you to take some of them. But what I did do is I gave you most of the big points. Why? Because I believe in this message, and I believe that it's important enough for you to grab a hold of this. Because faith is important in your life. I don't know if you realize how much you need faith. Does anybody in this place need faith? Thank you for you all over here. You need faith. Praise God. This section, we're going to pray for you because you don't know yet. You need faith, but you need faith. So what we're doing is we're passing out. If you don't have a pen or a pencil handy, I want to encourage you over the next couple of weeks, just bring one, slap one in your Bible, you know, put one in between the pages of your Bible. But if you don't, we have little golf pencils, they're called. They're just those little tiny pencils that you can just fill out, just so you can get the fill in the blanks and stuff like that, because I want you to fill in some blanks that you know, that makes sure you pay attention. So if you don't have a hand, just keep, have a pencil, just pop your hand up or ask the guy next to you or the person next to you. Babe, I know, look at you. All right, so anyways, Joey, are you kidding me? Oh, man. All right, so if you don't have a pencil, they have some golf pencils. Leave them on the table, because what happens is Pastor Luke's got to go buy pencils every week because y'all keep jacking my pencils. You know, I don't want to be like that waiter that's like, give me my pen back, you know, but give me my pen back, you know what I mean? So that next week you can have pencils too for those of you who don't bring them. So when you're done with your golf pencil, leave it on the table so you don't, you know, pencil thieves, I know you. Gotta watch you. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Well, I'm not kidding. He's watching you, but. Anyways, okay, enough of my rambling. Let's get on to faith. Now, we're going to talk about faith basics. That's the title of the series. It's called Faith Basics. Between myself and Pastor Joey, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to teach you. Now, I told you this last week, and Pastor Joe, I got to tell on him. He came into my office, and he was like, Pastor Luke, do I preach at them too much? Because you kind of made fun of my preaching. And I was like, no, I'm just saying that we want to teach you about faith, not preach you about faith. Because I want you to get faith in your system. One of the things that I've noticed over the couple of years of ministering to young adults is the younger generations are lacking faith. We know, okay, we talk about faith and we understand a little bit about it, but there's a true faith that when you get it in your system, when you understand the principles of faith or the basics of faith, then you can start those as building blocks to believing in God for something big. Now, I don't know if you've ever done something, if you've ever been unequipped to do something. I don't know if you've ever had to put something together. Maybe you've bought something where you've had to assemble and it comes with the instructions and there was a missing bolt, or you didn't have a particular tool to do it, or you looked at your car engine one time and it was metric and all you had was standard for you guys, or whatever it was. You know that if you don't have the right equipment, it's frustrating to try to get the job done, and you know that you're not impacted. You know that you're not really resourceful or useful in doing that type of job. And that's exactly the same with the message of faith. And if you don't have the tools, if you don't have the building blocks or the fundamentals of faith applied to your life to the point, listen, guys, not to the point where Pastor Luke gets up here and teaches you a message and you say, oh, great job, Pastor Luke, and you leave out of this place and come back next week and I ask you what we talked about last week and you're like, I don't. But when you get this in your system, and you live it, let me tell you something. This is something that will, I can't tell you. I mean, we say this about all the messages, guys, but let me tell you something. Let me just be open and honest with you. You need to get this. All right, so if you're having a hard time paying attention, then you know what? Go stand in the back so that you don't sit down if your head's nodding, because you need to get this. I remember one of my Bible college teachers, when Pastor Joe and I were in Bible college, told us that when we were reading a book, he says, you need to finish this book. And if you can't finish the book, then you need to go stand on the edge of the bathtub, so that if you fall one way or the other, you're going to fall on the ground. You need to stand on the edge of the bathtub and you need to hold the book up and read it so you don't fall asleep reading the book. That's kind of the same thing with the Word of God on this one, guys. I'm telling you, you need to get this. So buckle your seatbelts. There's a lot. I got a lot of notes, man. I cut out notes and I still got 3 pages of notes to go through tonight. We got a lot to cover and oh my goodness, we got a lot. So buckle your seatbelts. Keep your ears perked. You know, if the Holy Spirit can inspire the Word of God to be written, He can inspire you to understand. But let's go on with this. So we're talking about faith basics. Faith basics is basically, we're going to refer to the subject of ABCs of faith. You know, like as a kid, before you learn to read, you learn your alphabet, right? And you learn your alphabet through a song or through an acronym or whatever it is. But you don't know how to read if you don't know the ABCs, right? If I start ABC, you could say, yeah, you see, all right, Nizzle knows the ABCs. You know the basics, and that's the same thing about faith. There's some ABCs. There's some, you don't learn B before A, you don't learn C before B, you learn A, B, C, D, E, and so forth and so on. And there are some ABCs to faith that we're going to teach you, Pastor Joe and I, over the next couple of weeks to get this into your system. We're going to talk about faith, but before we even talk about faith, I want to ask you, what is faith? Somebody want to tell me, what's faith? Javier. All right, well, what was that over here? Being confident in what you hope for. Javier, you said it's your belief. Okay, faith, come on, anybody? Trust in him. It's your knowledge. What did you? A confident expectation. All right. All right, we're going to get there. All right, so there you go. There's lots of definitions of faith. Well, let's classify faith because you know what? Whenever you read the word faith in the Bible, did you know that there's not just one type of faith? It's actually three types of faith. So first thing we're going to talk about is the classifications of faith so that you can understand what faith is, okay? Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the fundamentals of faith. So before we can even get into faith, you got to know what it is and know the classifications of faith. There are three types of faith, okay? Pastor Joe's got a grin because he's like, look at him, Pastor. You imagine me being Doug Jones, aren't you? No, I'm just kidding. All right. Doug Jones was our fundamentals of faith teacher in Bible college. So anyways, there are three types of faith. The first type of faith that you come across in the Word of God is called the faith. You and I share this. This is the reference to the general faith, the faith. I don't know. Do you guys have that slide? Just put them all up there if you can. I don't care. You can leave me on that. But the first one is the faith. This is the all-encompassing term of Christian belief. Let me give you an example. Paul the Apostle wrote, I have finished the fight. I have ran the race. I have finished the fight. I have kept what? The faith. And all throughout the Bible, there are terms that refer to the faith. That's your general belief in Christ. That's all-encompassing Christianity. The second type of faith is your personal faith. This is the type of faith that we often hear about the most time. What are you believing for? What are you believing in? That is called the faith. This is what we mostly hear about in regard to our faith. And finally, the third one is the gift of faith. The gift of faith is something, a manifestation of the gift of God. It's something that comes upon you. Sometimes, I remember our Bible college, I was reading in my notes, it's something that you believe for that not is not necessarily put into the words or from the Word of God. Case in point, the gift of faith. You guys know of a man in the Bible by the name of Lazarus, correct? You guys remember this? Do you guys know who Lazarus was? Lazarus was what? Dead, okay? And Jesus went to Lazarus's tomb and said what? Okay, he said, come forth. But all right, it's okay. No, I'm just kidding. You're like, Pastor Luke, I'm not answering anymore. You're filling the blanks. Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. There was a young boy that was being carried out in a coffin. And Jesus came over and he touched the coffin and the young boy stood up. He came back from the dead. Okay, that's great. Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ. He could touch people. He could look at people and they get up from the dead. But how about this? There was a man by the name of Peter. Do you guys know who Peter was? Peter was an apostle of Jesus, right? Peter was called in Acts the 9th chapter to somebody, a lady by the name of Tabitha, or they called her Dorcas. She had two different names, but she was dead. Peter came down beside her to her bed and spoke to her and said, Tabitha, arise. And she got up and she became alive. Another example, in Acts the 20th chapter, a man by the name of Paul. Do you guys know who Paul is in the Bible? You guys ever heard of Paul? In Acts the 20th chapter, a man falls out of a third-story building window, dies. Paul comes down and embraces him and says, it's all right, there is life in him, and the man comes back to life. Now, that is the gift of faith, that is the manifestation of the gift of faith. I was reading today a story about an evangelist, a great teacher in the early 20th century, a man by the name of Smith Wigglesworth, who had a friend that when he was in New York, he had a friend that he had prayed for, and he was very ill, and he got word one day that his wife was at his house. She was up at the hospice house where his friend who was ill was being cared for, and he went to go pray for him. As he went in, he saw in the wife's face that death had already taken him. And he came and he prayed for him, and he said, arise. He said, come back to life. You know, he prayed for him, and nothing happened. And he thought, okay, oops. But then he said, and it was a letter that he had written. Smith Wigglesworth himself had written, and he said, but then the Spirit of God came upon me, and I said, look at him, look at him, look at him, there's life in him. And right then, the man got up. That's the gift of faith, something that comes upon you. See, the gift of faith with Peter, when he raised Tabitha from the dead, it was actually the power of Jesus Christ. Same thing with Paul, same thing with Smith Wigglesworth. But here's the bottom line, is you don't read about Peter walking through cemeteries and people's arms coming through the dirt like zombies coming out the ground. Because it was a special circumstance that God put upon Peter to say, hey, Tabitha, get up. It was a special circumstance that God had put upon Paul amongst the man. I don't even ask me to pronounce his name. It's just like crazy. But to say there's life in him. A man by the name of Smith Wigglesworth, when he said, arise from the dead, and nothing happened. It was the Spirit of God, the gift of faith. The gift of faith came upon him and said, look, there's life in him. But there wasn't yet. But then that's when the power of God came. That was the manifestation, a gift or a giving of God. So in order to understand faith, we have to understand the first principles or the elementary truths of faith. So we know the classifications of faith, the faith, right? Your faith, right? And the gift of faith. So we're going to talk about some of these today, but we have to understand the ABCs of faith. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Hebrews in the fifth chapter. Hebrews in the fifth chapter. Hebrews in the fifth chapter. One more time. Hebrews in the fifth chapter. We're talking about in order to understand faith, you've got to understand the principles. Now, this is why I'm telling you that Pastor Joey and I are not preaching faith to you. We're not preaching a faith message, but we're taking the next couple of weeks to really dig into what the Word of God says to teach you faith. Why? Because look at what Paul says. We don't know who wrote Hebrews. But look what the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews, the fifth chapter. Look at verse number 12. The writer of Hebrews says to the people he's writing to, he says, For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again, what? The first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. You see, if you and I don't grab a hold of the building blocks, if we don't grab a hold of the A, B, C's of faith, we miss out. And then all of a sudden we come back 10 years in our life, 20 years in our life, 30 years in our life, and you wonder why. Why is my faith not effective? Why is it when I'm believing for something, nothing happens? Why is it that when I say that I have faith, nothing comes from it? Because you, like Paul, or like the writer of Hebrews is saying, you should know this stuff, but you have to come back and learn the ABCs of faith. You have got to learn the foundations, because if you don't have a strong foundation, you have nothing to stand on. So that's why we're taking this time to teach you the principles of faith, the basics of faith. So here's the question. What do we use our faith for? What do we use our faith for? Anybody tell me, you just shout it out. I'll give you five things or four things, but you tell me, what do you use your faith for? What? Strength. All right, what do you use your faith for? Healing, wisdom, belief. What do you use your faith for? Salvation. What do you use your faith for? What? Hope? Hope. Okay, all right. I hope you're not saying Pope, because you're not going to be the Pope. Anyways, what do we use our faith for? Let me give you four things that we use our faith for. Four things that we use our faith for. These are four general categories, four things that that life falls into. Now, we could take these four categories and we can multiply them exponentially, and you can have 4 billion categories of what you use your faith for, but we're talking about fundamentals. And in fundamentals, there are never billions of things. There are always four or simple things to do, right? They don't tell you, as a kid, you don't learn the A, B, C, D, E, F, G's. You learn the ABCs. Because it's simple. Four things, four broad categories of what we use our faith for. Number one, to obtain promises from God. Healing, salvation that we talked about. You use your faith to obtain promises from God. What does the Word of God say about your life? Well, the Word of God says that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, He was healed. So you use your faith to believe in the promises of God for what? For healing, for finances, for blessings, whatever it might be, to obtain promises from God. Now, you're in Hebrews. The fifth chapter, turn with me a couple pages over. I'm going to have you, man, your pages are going to be hot, because you're going to be turning through so many pages that your Bible's going to be smoking. All right, Hebrews the 11th chapter. Put a ribbon on Hebrews the 11th chapter, and I'll tell you what, by the end of the series, your Bible's going to be like, fall open to it, all right? Hebrews the 11th chapter, we're talking about the Hall of Faith. Here the writer's talking about a man by the name of Gideon. Gideon was this young man. He was called by God to be a leader of an army. Gideon was a chicken. Gideon hid in a basket from the people because he was a coward. But God raised up in Gideon some faith to obtain promises. So now it's talking about Gideon in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, 33rd verse. It says, Gideon, that's verse number 32, who through faith subdued kingdom. Wait, no, listen. Who through what? Subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, and did what? Obtained promises. We use our faith to obtain promises from God. What else do we use our faith for? Number two, we use our faith to live. Yes. Daily lives. We have got to use our faith each and every day in our lives, because let me tell you something. Life doesn't always happen how you want it to happen. Life doesn't always happen how you need it to happen. Well, I was just talking to somebody talking about recalling back to a message where you got dealt bad cards. Guess what? You got to use your faith in your life, because sometimes you get dealt a bad deck of cards. You're like, Pastor Luke, what? Metaphorically speaking. You use your faith to live. In Hebrews, just a page over, Hebrews the 10th chapter. Verse 38, now the just shall what? Live by faith. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You shall live by faith. You have got to exercise faith in your life just to live. Why? Because your salvation, you know, sometimes you don't feel like you're saved. Sometimes you question, man, did Jesus Christ come? Man, is this even real? Is God even real? Sometimes life happens and it brings upon us things and doubts in our hearts, and we have got to live by faith. Why? Because that's how God has called us to live by. What do we use faith for? Number three, we use faith to walk. Now, I'm not saying necessarily we use faith to walk physically, like to put one leg in front of the other. But rather, we use faith to walk out our lives in righteousness, to live a life of endurance, not to just go one day to the next, but rather to live a life, not, you know, listen, it doesn't matter what you do right now, because here's the bottom line, if in 50 years from now, you've turned your back from God, who cares about today? It's about what happens at the end of your life. It's about what happens when you stand before Jesus Christ at the throne, at the great throne of judgment, and he says, account for your life. The Bible says that we must give an account for our life. You and I have got to use faith in our lives to walk in righteousness. What is that word? That's a Christian word, and you may not know. You might have heard, like, what's that movie, Nemo? Righteous, righteous. Okay, no. Righteousness is not surfer word. Righteousness means right standing with God. In right standing with God, walking in a way that is pleasing to God. Let me tell you something. It takes faith. It takes an effort to do something. It takes faith from God to walk in righteousness. Why? Because it's easy to not live in righteousness. Some of you guys have come from that. Some of you guys are still going through that. But let me tell you something. You just keep exercising faith in your life, because you use faith to walk. Lastly, what do you use faith? Oh, I didn't give you a verse. 2 Corinthians 5:7. I'll just put it up. We use faith to walk in righteousness. The Bible says, for we walk by what? Not by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, again, we're not talking about physically. Paul the Apostle is not saying that we literally close our eyes and say, like, guide me, God. Okay, here I go. But rather, in our lives, we walk out the days of our lives in faith. Okay, last for what? One of the things that we use faith for protection. We talked about strength over here. We use faith for our protection. Why? Because there are forces at work. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What does carnal mean? It doesn't mean we're not talking about chili con carne, but the weapons of our warfare are not physical, but are spiritual, mighty in God. So there are forces at work that you and I don't see, you and I don't understand. Sometimes you and I have a hard time believing they even exist, but let me tell you something. There are things that come against you that you don't understand, but you have got to use faith in order to supply, in order to apply protection over your life. An example of using faith for protection. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, Paul the Apostle is talking about the armor of God. Put on the whole armor. Ephesians 6:11 says to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the attacks of the devil. Verse number 16, going further into that, he talks about the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and the belt of truth, so forth. But verse number 16, listen to what he says. He says, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. So the faith acts as a shield. Faith acts as a protection from God. Now we'll talk about this. This is one of the ABCs. We'll talk about it in a moment. Faith acts. You use your faith to proclaim and to claim protection. I was just praying with somebody last week who was having some spiritual issues coming on in their life. And I told them, you need to start speaking the word of God over your life. And I gave them scriptures to actually, I said, you need to say them. You need to shout them. You need to scream them. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. We're going to talk about that later on. But why? Because you're speaking it out, because you're taking the shield of faith, you're taking the armor of God, like Paul said, to put on and say, you know what? Devil, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And you begin to proclaim it, you begin to take, that's what Paul's saying, is to take that shield of faith, to take the word of God and speak it against your issues. So we use faith to obtain promises from God. We use faith to live. We use faith to walk. We use faith for protection. Now that we understand the uses of our faith, what are the elemental pieces of our faith? I've given you what we use faith for. I've given you the classifications of faith, the faith, your faith, the gift of faith. Now, what are the building blocks or the ABCs of faith? Guess what? In your notes, you already got them. You cheated. You already know them. But in the beginning of any subject, there's a definition of terms. And without defining these terms, you can't understand the subject. Let me give you an example. If you've ever been on a boat, I took my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law on my parents' boat a couple months ago, and I was giving them all the different terms. I was saying, all right, you're going to go over here to the starboard. You're going to go over here to the port. This is the lazy line. This is the working line. That's the gunwale. That's the topsail. That's the genoa. That's the jib. And everybody's just looking at me like, what? If you don't know what the terms are, you're just going to be one of those Christians that when somebody preaches about faith, you're going to do this.
Okay. All right.
But inside, you don't know what he's talking about. You don't get it. You don't understand it. But when somebody, if you studied in on it, if I go to Stacy, my wife, who's certified in sailing, if I start talking to her about length over the water, I'd ask her, what's the stern of a boat? What's the bow of a boat? What's the pulpit of a boat? She could tell me why, because she studied the elemental pieces of that subject. And she knows we can carry on a conversation that most people would be like, what are you talking about? Same thing with faith. You and I have got to understand the elemental pieces of faith so that when faith comes on us, when we apply faith to our life, we can look at them and say that. All right, we can believe them. It said, I stole this, I ripped this off, I'm not going to lie, from my Bible college teacher when we were in Rhema. The only way to untangle a knot is to start at the beginning. So where do we pick up on faith? At the beginning. The ABCs of faith, at the beginning, what we're talking about today. Faith, the ABCs, the building blocks of faith. Here we go. What faith is, that's A. How faith comes, that's B. Faith must be released, that's C. Faith must be fed like a dog, that's D. Faith must be allowed to be the leader, that's E. Faith, the faith shield, like we talked about for protection, that's F. The building blocks of faith, we'll talk about each one of these each week. These are the elemental pieces of faith. These are the beginning steps of faith. Let me tell you something. If you've got an issue in your faith, I almost can guarantee that if there's an issue in faith, the issue resolves. Issue is resolved from one of these steps, from one of these building blocks. The answer to a question in your faith will probably, more than likely, almost I can almost just tell you, you know what? The answer to your faith question is in these building blocks. Because these are the fundamentals, these are the beginning, these are the elemental pieces of faith. Let me give you an example. You know, Pastor Luke, I had faith, but nothing happened. Let's go to the faith blocks. Let's go to the elemental faith. Do you know what faith is? You say you have faith, but did you even know what faith is? Oh, maybe I didn't know what faith is. Nothing happened. Did you know how to release your faith? Oh, I didn't even know how to release it. Did you know how to feed your faith? Oh, I didn't even know. You see, when you have issues in something, when you have issues in your faith, you can come back to the building blocks. You can come back to the ABCs and look at these and say, okay, look at your issue, look at your question, and now apply them to the A, B, C, D, E, and F, and so forth. The building blocks of faith. Are you guys with me? Are you still here? Are we on this? Are we all okay? So today what we're going to talk about, this is the simplest of them all, actually. This is the easiest building block, and that's why we say we start at the beginning. The first building block of faith, the first fundamental of faith, the first whatever you want to call it of faith, is letter A, what faith is. Now, I asked you in the beginning, what is faith? Belief, confidence, so forth. I got a couple of great answers. We're going to talk about that. Let me define to you, when you read the word faith in your Bible, let me define to you what it actually means going, but listen, man, I'm going to take you back. I got this book. I was going to bring it to show you, just so you're like, Pastor Luke's not making this up. I was going to bring this, but maybe I'll bring it next week so you can see it. I have this book. It's like this big and it's like this thick. And it's called the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. And that is every word in the Bible translated how and where it's at. Every Hebrew word and every Greek word. Hebrew from the Old Testament, Greek from the New Testament. So you want to know what a word means? You go find it, you look it up, and it'll tell you what the reference is. I mean, the word, the type on this book, and it's like this big. The type on this book is like size 3 font. I mean, you got to get a magnifying glass. And then it takes you back to the end, and it gives you the exact definition. Out of the Strong, so you're going to see in your thing, and you're going to see in the notes, you're going to see up here, I think, it's going to say the Strong's Exhaustive, Strong's Concordance. And there's another dictionary that we have called the Vine's Expository Dictionary. These are study tools. The Vine's Expository Dictionary takes every word in the New Testament and defines it in its original Greek language and translation. Because you know what? Have you ever heard the term lost in translation? How many stinking translations of the Bible are there today? There's the King James. There's the New King James. There's the NIV of the 1984, but now there's the new NIV that came out last year. There's the Living Bible. There's the New Living Bible. There's the New Living Translation. There's the American Standard Version. There's the Revised American Standard. I mean, everything can be translated 100 times over. And you all have different versions of your Bible. So your Bible's translation might say one thing. Your Bible's translation might say another thing. So what the Vines does, what the Strong's does, and what I've done for you is I've gone back to define the words that we read, faith, what they mean. This is what they mean. Faith, as defined from the original Greek language. Dang, you're like, I didn't know I was going to go that deep today. Yeah, man, we're talking Greek. Faith, as defined in Greek, where'd my notes go? Oh, I already changed it. All right. From the Strong's Concordance, faith is simply a persuasion. Okay? It's a persuasion. From the Vine's Expository Dictionary, faith is a firm persuasion. Okay? So a persuasion is, all right, I'm persuaded. You have persuaded me. Faith is a firm persuasion, meaning you have persuaded me. I will not waver from my persuasion. Okay? All right. You're like, oh, you're kind of losing me, Pastor Luke. It's all right. Listen to this. Faith is a conviction based upon what you have heard. You can define it like this. Somebody said it. I think it was from this side. Props to this side. It could have been this side. Props to that side. Whatever. Props to both sides. Faith is simply what you believe. But you take these words and put the weight behind them. Faith is a persuasion. Faith is a firm persuasion. It's a conviction based on what you believe. See, now, when you say faith and when we take faith, and this is why I really believe it's important for you guys to get this. In our day and age, we say we have faith. Faith is what? Oh, it's what you believe. Okay. But what you can believe can be swayed. Why? Because somebody else can come and say, well, no, that's not right. This is right. Somebody can say, no, this is what it says. No, this is what it says. Now we add these words to it and they make it a little bit more concrete. A persuasion means that this somebody, something has come into me and now I believe that. I have heard it, now I believe it. Listen to this. A firm persuasion means now I stand on a concrete foundation for what I believe and I will not waver from that. Okay, a conviction. If you've ever had a conviction about something, not convicted for something, but a conviction about something. A conviction about something is a weighty topic in your heart. If you've ever been convicted to reach the lost, if you've ever been convicted to go back to school, whatever it is, you felt that feeling in your life and you say, man, it eats at you, it drives you every day. Listen, I have a conviction upon me right now to lose some weight. And every morning when I wake up, that conviction is on me. Why? Because it doesn't stop. And that is the same thing that faith is. Faith is not just simply, oh, I have faith. Fluttering around because the Bible tells me I should have faith. But rather, now faith is a persuasion because of something that you've heard, a conviction based upon what you have heard. What did you hear it from? The Word of God. So faith is a persuasion, a firm persuasion, a conviction based upon what you have heard. Faith is what you believe. With that in mind, let's go to the Bible's faith verse. If there's a verse in faith, if there's a verse synonymous with faith, I don't even have to tell you where it is. I mean, it's already on your notes, but I see everybody's already turning there. Go to Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. This is the hall of faith. This is the faith chapter of the Bible. This is the chapter about faith we're talking about. Thank you. All right.
They were like, Pastor Luke, I didn't get it. I didn't catch the vibe that you wanted me to fill in the blanks.
Faith. Now, faith is the substance. Somebody quoted it as a definition. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. What does that mean?
You're like, Pastor Luke, I don't know. I'm not going to answer you, man. I'm not going to answer you. You're teaching on it.
Think about that. You're sitting here and you're reading your Word of God. You don't know about faith. Nobody's taught you about faith. And you pick up Hebrews 11 chapter verse number 1. You read Hebrews 11 chapter verse number 6. It says, without faith it is impossible to please God. And you say, well, okay, what is faith? Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things unseen. Okay, what does that mean to you? What does that mean? Again, let's go back to the elemental truths. Let's go back to the building blocks of what faith is. That's what we're talking about today. Building block number A. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith, we talked about, is what you believe. What you believe comes from what you hear. In Romans, the 10th chapter, verse number 17, faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes from? You all should answer that a little bit better, man. It's right up on the screen. Faith comes by, and you know, that's a fill in the blank on your thing. There you go. You're like, what? I didn't even know, Pastor Luke. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. We're talking about Hebrews 11:1. Your faith comes from your hearing. Your beliefs come from your hearing. They come from the same process. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Joey preached a message about being of great faith. The woman of the issue of blood. You guys ever heard that story? The woman with the issue of blood. You talked about that, right? The woman with, huh? Briefly, the woman with the issue of blood, the centurion, right? He talked about the centurion, the Roman centurion who said all Jesus had to do was speak that his servant was healed and he would be healed. The woman with the issue was the blood. We're just young adults, so can I stop beating around the bush? Can I just say what it was? The woman was on her period for like 12 years. Okay? Yikes. She heard about Jesus and she in her head said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Jesus said to her, your faith has made you whole. As soon as she touched his garment, he felt the power of God go into her. Because she had faith. How did she get it? She believed. How did she believe? Because she heard about Jesus. She heard that Jesus Christ was the healer. How did the Roman centurion, Pastor Joe was talking about, being of great faith, how did he hear or how did he know that Jesus could heal a servant? Because he heard. He believed. Well, Jesus heals everybody else, so Jesus can heal my servant. So faith and belief are the same process. How do you get your faith? You get your faith by hearing. You heard that somebody was healed of cancer? Guess what? Your relatives can be healed of cancer. You heard that somebody was blessed by God? Guess what? You can believe that God can bless you. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. That's how they came. That's how these people came to believe. The blind men that cried out to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus asked, what would you want me to do? Cleanse me of my unrighteousness, heal my eyes. And he says, he asked them, do you believe I can? Yes, they say. Why do they believe? Because they've heard. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. Your belief and your faith are intertwined in the process. You get them by hearing. That's the importance of church. That's a different subject. But that's the importance of hearing the Word of God in your life. Why? Because that's how you get faith in your life. So your faith comes by hearing. Your beliefs come by hearing. They come by the same process. I talked about this in Matthew, the 9th chapter. Jesus departed from there. 27th verse, two blind men followed him. I think it's up on the overhead. You don't have to turn there. Crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Listen to this. And he came, and when he came into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. His response was, according to your belief, let it be to you. What was it? Faith. Do you believe? Yes, according to your let it be to you. Belief and faith. Belief and faith come by the process of hearing. You've got to get that. You've got to understand that. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him, God. Why? For he who comes must what? Believe. We're getting it. That he is, and that he is a rewarder. That he is what? That he is God. That he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if we establish that faith is a persuasion, faith is a firm persuasion. It's not just something that you float around saying, I have faith. You have a persuasion. You have a conviction based upon what you have. And y'all got to get on this. A conviction based upon what you have. A conviction based upon what you have. Look at the person next to you and say, it's a conviction based upon what I've heard. Look at the person on the other side and say, based on what I've heard. You see, I'm trying to get this into you. You got to get this. I'm going to pound it. I'm going to beat that dead horse. All right, we're going to beat this horse. No, all right, just kidding. But we've established that faith is a persuasion. It's a firm persuasion. It's a moving on, it's a conviction. Let's start from the beginning. One word, faith is a. Okay. Faith is a, now number two. A firm persuasion, a concrete persuasion. Number three, faith is a. You guys are really good right here, all right? I hear a lot of voices coming from right this. Yes, you got Michael behind you. What's up, guys? Faith is a conviction based. It's on your thing, isn't it? I'm pretty sure it's on your paper. Now that we've established that faith is a. Okay, it's a. Yes! Now that we've established that faith is not just something that we say, oh, I believe. But it's something that's concrete. It's something that you grab a hold of from the Word of God. Now that we've established that, now we can look at Hebrews 11:1 and make sense of this verse. Because let me tell you something. When you misdefine faith in your life, when you miscategorize faith in your life, you don't understand what you have had in your life. You get what I just said? When you misdefine faith, when you don't understand what faith is, you don't understand how faith works. You don't understand what faith can do in your life because you don't know the definition of faith. But when you know the definition of faith, that it's not just a thing because you raised your hand in service and one day and now all of a sudden you have faith magically, but all of a sudden now you understand that faith is a persuasion. Faith is a firm persuasion, a concrete persuasion. It's a conviction. Now you don't get into the trouble of misdefining or misunderstanding what faith means. So now we can go back to Hebrews 11th chapter. I don't think we left it, but Hebrews 11th chapter, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now I ask you, what does that mean? Let's find out. Substance. Remember that big old book I was talking about? Strong's Exhaustive Concordance? Doesn't that just make you tired reading that title? Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. I mean, you read the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance and you take a nap. What does the word substance mean? Faith is the substance. Faith is the substance. Okay, but then what is substance defined as? Substance means the setting under. It's a ground. It's a confidence. Out of that Vine's expository dictionary, faith is that which is set under. Faith is a foundation. You see, faith, now look at this in Hebrews 11, chapter verse number 1. Faith is the grounds of things hoped for. Faith is the confidence of things hoped for. Faith is the foundation of things hoped for. Okay, great. So we get that part. You guys understand that? I don't have to peek that one in, right? We can get that. What is hoped for me? Oh, hoped for. What is hoped for me? your wants, your wishes, your desires, right? Hoped for. You're hoping for it. Pastor Joey, does hoped for mean your wants, your wishes, and your desires? No. To the world, he said, he answered me to the world, but no. You what? Hope for, I'm hoping for something. I had my faith out for something. I had my wants, my wishes, my desires for something. Pastor Luke, you're throwing a stone. You're throwing a wrench in my spokes. Hoped for does not mean your hopes, your wishes, your desires.
Whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Pastor Luke, wait a minute. What does hope for mean?
I'm glad you asked. Hope for, defined in that strong, exhaustive concordance. The original Greek word. See, I'm not telling you, some guy named Strong didn't just say, all right, this is what hope means. This is what the Greek word translated, because the Bible wasn't written in English. Man, you should read the Old English Bible. It's crazy. Hoped for means a confident expectation, a trust. Faith is the substance. It's the setting under. It's the grounds for. It's the confidence. It's that which is set under. Faith is the foundation for things that you confidently expect. Things that you trust God for. Why? Because faith comes from. So when you base your faith upon the Word of God, because you have, you heard it. It's all right. That is what you expect. God, your word says, remember, what do we use faith for? To obtain the promises of God. God, your word says that I am more than a conqueror. Your word says that through Christ I can do. Now you don't just say, okay, maybe I can. It's not that. You see, this is where it's not just a fluttery word, because now all of a sudden that belief that you can do all things isn't just something that somebody said to you. Now it's a persuasion. It's a firm persuasion. Now all of a sudden it's a conviction. Hey, you're studying molecular bioscience. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Through the power of Jesus Christ that coming upon you, you can now have an expectation from God to get you through that boring class. You got a job that you hate, but you know there's something better for you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Why? God can get you through today so that tomorrow the plan of God comes. And it's not just I believe in it, someday it's going to happen. But now all of a sudden it is a confident expectation. You expect it. It's happening. I'm just waiting. I'm expecting. When you're expecting, here's a word. Okay, just an example. It just came to my head. My wife and I are pregnant. What is the term? I'm expecting. What does that mean? That there's something inside of her. You can see it. Well, you can't see it, but you can see the evidence of it. Meaning that at some point, it's the course of nature that that's going to come out of her. That's why it's called expecting, because it's not going to stay in her all the time. It can't. It's not going to stay in her after 10 months, 11 months. It doesn't happen. 9 months comes out. Guess what? Now you got a baby. That's why you're expecting, because it will come. Faith is a persuasion, a firm persuasion. It's a conviction based upon what you have heard. It's now we look at hoped for. It's based on, it's the substance, it's the foundation of things that you have a confident expectation for, a trust for. 1 Thessalonians, 4th chapter, talking about hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. It's up there on the screen. Again, it says in Ephesians 2, 2nd chapter, 12th verse, that you had no hope. That hope is you had no expectation of Savior. You had no knowledge of Jesus Christ. You had no idea what the future held for you. You died. You were afraid of what happened after you died. Why? Because you had no. What is hope? Confident expectation. Now, we were talking about salvation through grace. By grace, by faith, you have been saved, the Bible tells us. What is the confident expectations of what happens to us when we die? Man, we got to talk about our confident expectations about what happens to us after we die. That's the series after this. What is your confident expectation of what happens to you after you die? You go to heaven. You see Jesus, whatever the answer was. You know it. Okay, that's what you believe. That's why you raised your hand. Because you didn't want to go to. It's a confident expectation. If somebody said, oh, you're not going to go to heaven. Jesus is fake. What do you say? No, I am. Because why? It's a persuasion. It's a firm persuasion. It's a conviction based upon what you've heard from the Word of God. You see, faith is not just a word. It's a confident expectation. So we see that we had no hope. We had no confident expectation, but through faith, we have it. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse number 23. Man, I got to stop. I'm almost done. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse number 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. You know, you look up this word and the Strong's Concordance, and guess what this word shows up as? Faith. It's the faith. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith. What is our faith? This is the faith. Remember we're talking about the faith? The confession that when we die, we go to heaven. Without wavering. Firm persuasion. A conviction. Not just a little faith. You guys get this? You getting this? Faith gives, this is a fill in the blank. Faith gives expectation the right to exist. Faith gives your expectation. Faith gives your hope a right to exist. Without faith, you have no hope. Do you get that? Did you get that? Did you get that? Without faith, you have no hope. So faith gives your expectation the right to exist. Because of faith, you do have an expectation. I expect that I'm going to be blessed. Let me tell you something. Let me open the doors of Pastor Luke's heart to you. There's 126 people. I have hope for 200 people next year. It's a small number compared to what God can do. Faith gives my expectation. See, I don't just say, oh God, I'd love to have 200 people in Shift. Your faith, you don't just say, God, I'd sure love to have, fill in the blanks according to the promises of God. Now you say, God, my faith says that through you, next year, this service will have more than 200 people. There's an expectation. I'm just waiting on it. I'm listening to what God says. But remember, we're talking about the building blocks of faith. We're going to talk about this. That's not the stopping point of faith. That's the starting point of faith. Hebrews 11:1, one more time. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. You see, Hebrews 11:1 is not the definition of faith. It doesn't define faith. It explains what faith does. Hebrews 11:1 is not the definition of faith. We always call that the definition of faith. Pastor Luke, when somebody asks you, what is faith? You say, well, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And they're like, dang, man, you study the Word of God. That's what faith does. Faith is the foundation of things that you have an expectation for. It's the evidence. It's the proof of things that you haven't seen yet. Faith is a persuasion. Faith is a... You're getting it. All right. Faith is a... Okay. Some of you are getting that one. Get it. All right. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Last thing, evidence. What is evidence? What is evidence? We'll close on this. We have got to close. What is evidence on this? What is evidence? What is evidence? What is evidence? You, don't be afraid. What is evidence? What is it, Mike? Proof of what? Proof of a crime? Okay. Well, what about evidence of dinosaurs? They're proof that they
But what existed? Dinosaurs? Because we have their bones. What is evidence? Somebody over here. I've been soliciting these guys. Chris, what is evidence? What is CSI? Tell me about it. What is evidence? Proof that something happened or exists. Let me tell you something. Evidence is proof that something happened or something exists. You're right on the money. So you're like, Pastor Luke, I don't know. Are you going to come blow my mind? No, that's it. But let me tell you something. Evidence is, listen to this. This is so simple. Evidence is proof that something exists other than the evidence. Because the evidence is something of proof of something that was been left behind. Evidence is not proof that evidence exists, right? Evidence doesn't come from nothing, right? Evidence comes from, you're getting it. So faith is the evidence. Faith is the residue left behind what? Something. What is that something? A
persuasion.
It's a evidence is proof that something existed or was there other than the evidence. You can't pull evidence out of nothing. You can't pull evidence of faith from nothing. What do you have to pull the evidence of your faith from? How do you get the
word?
You. You see it? You getting it? You getting it? You're like, Pastor Luke, I don't know. I'm trying, man. Let me say this. Ultimately, we're talking about what faith is. Ultimately, the world has faith. Christians have faith. Everybody you know has faith. It's the same. It's the same faith. Wait a minute, Pastor Luke. Jesus Christ did not come on this planet, did not come down to you and I to die on a cross on Calvary to change the definition of our words. Faith to the world, faith to Christians, it's faith. The material of how they accomplish or they build their faith is the deciding factor of the two. That's the evidence. You see, the world bases faith upon intellect, upon feelings, upon emotions, sight, touch, whatever. Okay? No argument there, right? Christians, you and I, our persuasion, our firm persuasion, that conviction based upon what we have heard, we don't base it on the same system that the world bases it on, right? We don't base it upon intellect, upon feelings and emotions, on touch. Because if we did, we would have no... You get that? You see what I'm saying? Second, remember we talked about in Thessalonians. As those who died, you don't have to worry about them because you're not like the people that have no hope. You and I don't have faith based upon feelings, emotions, and intellect. We have faith based upon the Word of God. The persuasion, the firm persuasion, the conviction based upon what we believe is not because we feel like it, not because we think it, but because the Word of God says it. Because the Word of God says it. And when we read the Word of God, when we hear the Word of God, when there's a preacher, when there's a teacher that you get the Word of God into you, then it gets into your system and now it becomes a persuasion, a firm persuasion. It becomes a conviction based upon what you have heard, like the woman with the issue of faith. You see, the woman with the issue of blood, she didn't have the ABCs of faith. The Roman centurion didn't go to some Bible college and sit under some great teacher and then come to Jesus and say, well, hey, listen, man, you know, I got a PhD in theology. I got a master's of divinity. He heard and he believed. You've heard. Now it's time to believe. Last week I talked about the condition of your heart. You see, you cannot start talking about faith without opening the condition of your heart.
to not have a hard heart towards God, to not believe, because let me tell you something, we're going to talk about how faith comes next week. This was just the beginning. This is the on-ramp. This is the slow lane of the freeway. Let me tell you something, guys, we're going to pick up and hit the Autobahn. This was the intro. You're like, oh my gosh. Yes. This is the start of it. Now we get into how faith comes, about hearing, about believing, about accepting, not rejecting. We'll talk about that. But we have got to understand that we have got to know the definitions of faith in our life so that when we apply faith, we know it. Faith is a. Okay, all right, you can do it. You can do it. Number three, faith is a. You guys are good. Yes. Give yourselves a hand. We're talking about what faith is. Remember the three classifications of faith? Faith is the faith. What's the faith mean? Shout it out. Come on, get involved. What's the faith? The general belief. What is the next one? It is personal faith. Do I even have to ask that one? No. The gift of faith is a manifestation or an appearance, a showing of, an evidence of the gift of God. All right. Okay. What do we use faith for? To live. That's one. What do we use faith for? To obtain promises, to walk. What do we use faith for? Yay. All right. Let me quiz you. One more question. Two more questions. What are the ABCs of faith? How about I count to three and we say it, all right? Here we go. What are the ABCs of faith? Like, Pastor Luke, I don't know. ABCs of faith. On the count of three. One, two, three.
How faith comes. Faith must be released. Faith must be fed. Faith must be allowed to be the leader. Faith, the faith shield.
What did we talk about today? What faith is. I have a question for you on your notes. I want you to think about this more than just an answer. It's a homework assignment for you. Okay? You can answer it with four words, but I want more than that. What do you base your faith on, and add a why? The four words are the Word of God. Okay, that's an easy answer. But think about that. I want you to take it home. I want you to kind of chew on this. Take this little thing, this little paper. I gave you this paper so that you don't put it in the back of your Bible and come out next Friday and be like, oh yeah, I got notes from last week. Take this during the week and I want you to kind of study it, digest it, read it, read Hebrews, read these chapters. What do you base your faith on? Why? The Word of God? Okay. Why? Find examples. What happened when you base your faith on healing? Why? Because Jesus healed the blind. Because Jesus healed that. Can Jesus heal you? Yeah, there you go. Whatever it is that you're basing your faith on, what do you base it on and why? That's what I want you to take with you for the rest of the week. That's what I want you to digest. We're going to come back next week and we're going to talk about how faith comes. We've already talked about faith comes by hearing. You're like, gosh, Luke, you already told us that. Oh, no. There's more than that. You guys getting something out of this? All right, praise God.